Hello and welcome, ladies and gentlemen, to Combox Live, where the game lives on. I'm Behram Kazi, who you can find at Def Mango on Twitter. We've got Varun, who you can find nowhere, and Jared, who you can find everywhere, to talk about the game that RCB just played in Delhi versus Delhi. It lasted a grand total of 23 overs.
Well, this game doesn't count because I've been told every game there's too many runs. So, sadly, this one is not even a game of cricket.
Yeah.
I mean, it was fascinating. You guys were on the watch along and I was doing something else. And so I had it on and I was watching it. But every time something happened, it seemed to be a wicket. And, it reminded me of the sort of magical moments that you've seen in cricket. Like, Adelaide, the 36 all out, the Stuart Broad thing, where every player misses an edge. Every edge goes to the keeper or the slip fielder. Every miss it goes straight up in the air rather than, you know, just going into a no man's land or whatever. And so it's probably going to look like this was the world's greatest bowling against the world's worst batting. Whereas I don't know if Varun's looked at the numbers, but my guess is that the false shot percentage was poor, but not like it wasn't. What were they? What was their lowest moment? Was it?
I think it's 8 for 6
or 9 for 6. One of those two.
Yeah.
Can't remember.
It was probably their lowest moment, right? It was clearly not like that. That wasn't the wicket that we just saw, right? Like, not saying, I mean, Bhuvie was swinging the ball, what, 2.5, 2.8 degrees. Hazelwood was getting good pace and bouncing, a little bit of seam movement and everything else. Brilliant bowling by both of those men. The score should not have been 8 for 6.
Yeah, I mean, there was some prodigious swing early on and Bhuvie really made full use of that. But that lasts for about 3 overs and we saw some violent turn later on. But the game was done by then.
It didn't even matter, right?
Yeah.
Delhi played 29 false shots in their innings.
They played 29 false shots and you should usually get, what in T20 cricket, what would it be? 5 or 6 false shots per wicket?
About, give or take, yeah.
Yeah, so, and a lot of those false shots later on would have been false shots mishit into no man's land. I think early on in the first 6 overs, it was probably about 6 wickets to like 9 or 10 false shots, which shouldn't happen. But sometimes that happens in cricket. And, I think with Bhuvie Kumar, what we have seen over the last little while is that there was a period of time where he took lots of wickets in the IPL. And then teams went, well, we're not going to go out to him anymore. We're just going to defend the ball and we're going to block him out and whatever. And then the impact subs come back in and suddenly he's come back to being a strike bowler again. And I mean, the ball he bowled to the debutant today, was it Sahil?
Yeah.
I mean, what are you going to do, man? Like,
yeah, swung nearly 4 degrees that.
Yeah. Come on
that
now.
Insanely, it swung back in towards the southpaw Sahil, and you know, it flattens middle pole. I think you can't do much about that, but granted that there was some good bowling at the start, there were some other batters who were just poking at it, like Stubbs. His dismissal was poor. I thought Sameer Rizvi's dismissal was also really poor. But when the Hoff and Bhuvie are on one, it's tough for batters as well. Only that, you know, you said 29 false shots. How many deliveries did they play? What's 16.3 overs? 99 balls, right?
Yeah.
I mean, it's not that. I don't think 29 in a T20 game is an amazing amount of false shots, though.
I think the default is 30%, I want to say.
Yeah. So it's not, this isn't like they played 50% of the balls as false shots or anything, right? Like, look, like Rizvi came out first ball and he pushes at one that he's trying to get bat on ball. How many batters do that, Behram? Like, that's a pretty common first ball situation. You know, look at Nitesh Rana, who was like absolutely stuck, right? Like he just didn't look like he was ever going to score a run again. And then he gets like a pretty good ball, doesn't he, to get him out? Like, I just felt like that kind of day that like in 5 minutes time, you were going to get a ball that, you know, that you weren't going to survive. I think I joked about it on the broadcast of like the best shot early on was David Miller's edge short of slip, right? Like it just felt like that kind of day where they couldn't get away from those two guys. And let's be honest, RCB didn't even put the foot on the throat, right? They didn't even bowl Hazelwood out.
Nope. They bowled Romario.
Romario. Still went for runs.
Yeah. I mean, if you think about it, Delhi plays 16.3 overs, they managed 75 runs. That's a recovery because early on they had the worst power play in IPL history. They were 13 for 6 at the end of 6 overs. And, you know, Varun and I were kind of rooting for a new record. So we wanted them to be bowled out below 49. That didn't happen. But
no, you wanted it below 49. I wanted it below 15.
Yeah, you did want it below 15. And unfortunately, you know, Delhi's best player today was the plastic bag.
Maybe by a distance, right? Yeah. I mean, maybe the best cricket that Delhi played today was the plastic bag and the moths.
Yes. The dust storm, the moths, and the plastic bag. Those were the heroes for the Capitals.
Natarajan's catch was good.
True. No drop catches?
Imagine that. You can't even bring that up in the change room, right? Because everyone's going to be looking at you, I mean, we don't care. Varun, I think the most important thing about this game is it kind of ends Delhi as a realistic playoff chance. I don't want to say that they're not a playoff chance from here on in, because I think that would be going too far. But their next game is against Rajasthan Royals, right? So they're basically playing for their playoff chance, because if they're 3-6, even though they've got CSK and KKR after that, it's really tough to come back from 3-6.
I have traveled the cricketing world, and so I've collected two things: the phone numbers of random taxi drivers and overseas SIM cards. Rideshare apps have fixed the first part, and Sally is doing the second. Now, all you need is their eSIM on whatever plan works for you. You activate it and you can use it anywhere in the cricketing world. It helps you save money. It is a global solution to a global problem. Stop fiddling with tiny SIMs and get the one that does it all. Go to Sally.com Good Areas and use the code Good Areas to get an exclusive 15% off your first purchase. Fly free with Sally.
To be fair, it's not a horrible last streak of schedule, is it? So what, you have CSK, KKR, KKR is three of the games in the remaining ones. Let's say you should expect, you want to win all three of them, don't you?
Well, you compare that to Gujarat. So Gujarat and 4/4, and their next three games are RCB, Punjab and Royals, right? Mm. So, but the point being is that I just think that Delhi have underperformed so many different times this year when we think they're a better side than this, that it's getting to the point of, okay, they probably lose to Rajasthan, right? That means they're 3-6. Do we honestly believe that they're going to beat both CSK and KKR from here on in? Like, maybe. Is that a legitimate thing? Their wins this year have had one great win against RCB. They beat Mumbai and they beat an LSG. They feel like a team who can't really beat good sides to me. I could be wrong, but, you know, maybe they'll go on a bit of a run at the end because they don't play good teams. But their net run rate's also a huge issue now.
Yeah.
Their net run rate, wait a minute, let me check, guys, is almost as bad as Lucknow's.
Wow. I mean, they did lose this game by 9 wickets and 81 balls to spare. But here's a question for you guys. You're looking at the fixture list and you're kind of theorizing, but how do you come back from these two losses? First, you get, you know, or you let Punjab chased down a record total, 265 or whatever, and then you get bowled out for 75, right? Like, it's bad. Morally, or you know, like, their morale would be really down in the dumps after this. It would be a tough dressing room to be a part of.
I think last game, they would probably point to the fact that they actually had a chance to beat Punjab even with Ngidi injured in that game, right? Hmm. They had the two drop catches in a row.
Yeah.
You know, they were in a pretty good position to come back and win that game, and they didn't. I think you can hold your head up because Punjab are playing really good cricket, and you say to yourself, we were in that game. If we take our catches, maybe Ngidi doesn't get injured, we have a chance. I think the issue that they have now is after this game, which where they were absolutely not in, not even for a moment. Hmm. I'm not even sure they turned up to this ground, right? Yeah. This game on its own, Bayram, what you would do is when you turn up for a game like this and this happens, basically the coaching staff and all the people involved, the leadership group have to just go, that's a throwaway game, guys. Hmm. It went the wrong way, whatever. The issue for them is they are now on a 3-game losing streak.
Hmm.
Right? They were 3-2, Bayram.
Yep.
And they're now 3-5. That is the bigger issue, is if it's actually just, you know, all the confidence is disappearing because of that.
True. And I mean, look, even though I think Bhuvi was phenomenal today, like that ball to Sahil with the middle pole uprooted, it's almost unplayable. And you know, he takes 3/5 in 3 power play overs. On the other end, you had Hazelwood, who wasn't going with the same tactics. So they couldn't really cope with the short stuff. I agree that, what's his face? Nitish Rana gets a good one. That was a good bumper by Hazelwood. But the KL Rahul bumper wasn't all too great. I feel like Sameer Rizvi kind of throws away his wicket as well, including Stubbs. So being 13/6 was kind of like a mixed bag. Good bowling, some early swing, and then just bad batting. I personally feel like they've got their squad composition horribly wrong, Delhi. They need to fix that ASAP. And perhaps, you know, maybe have a number three in there somewhere. Who could be that number three for them? Porel?
He can't play spin.
Yeah. Look, that we've acknowledged.
I don't think their squad is wrong. I think they came in and they went, we have two of the most automatic scorers in the world in the Nisanka and KRL. right? Mm. Both of these guys can handle pace bowling. Both of these guys can hit boundaries in the power play. And both of these guys can hit spin. KL may not, but he can. Hmm. And Nisanka probably will hit spin. And then all we need to do around that is we have Nitesh Rana to make sure it ticks over. And then eventually we get to the sort of Stubbs, Akshar, David Miller section of the batting order, right?
Yeah.
The real issue they've had this year is that Nisanka, who I don't think has looked in terrible form, but he just can't stay in for more than 5 minutes. He'll time a couple of balls and be like, oh, yeah, Nisanka, and he's gone, right? So that has been a huge problem. Then at the other end, of course, they've now have this problem with their bowling attack. Stark hasn't been available. Ngidi is now gone. And so, again, that should have been another strength for them, right?
Yeah.
You bring Stark on with the new ball. Ngidi dominates the back end of the power play into the middle, into the death. And then Stark gives you a good couple of overs at the death as well. So all the things that their squad was built around haven't quite happened. There are some mistakes. And like, obviously, before Varun says it, having Tristan Stubbs and David Miller in the same side doesn't make sense. They play the exact same role. You'd be much better off to split them up and find two different kinds of players, right? But I don't think the side is, I think the side is probably closer on paper to 3-2 than it is 3-6. But with everything that's gone wrong, Nisanka not making any runs, Ngidi now being finished, and Stark not being around, they probably are a 3-6 side now, right?
Yeah, I mean, if you remember, they were playing both of Mukesh and Aqib Nabi together in the middle, along with T. Natarajan. Today, they brought in two overseas seamers in Chamira and Kyle Jameson, and that never mattered. In fact, Jameson might be their best bat, right?
he batted really well today, yeah.
Yeah. But it's tough going for Delhi, and Laughing at Nothing has a super chat over here who says DC lost last three games very badly. Team looks deflated. It's going to be a test of their character now to bounce back from this, and it's not going to be easy.
No. And look, I think someone else in the comments might have put in Prithvi Shaw. I came into this year thinking that they would probably take a risk on Prithvi Shaw ahead of Nisanka, or play all three of them. And maybe move one of KL or Nisanka to number three, right? Mm. And use Prithvi Shaw as an opener. Clearly, they know something I don't know because they haven't gone with that at the moment. Mm-hmm. Or it's just a horrible decision, whatever that case may be. But I do think that just a lot of micro things have gone wrong for them. Mm. How many times this year, and either of you might know this, how many times this year have they just lost four wickets in the first four or five overs? Like, you can say that a team is bad. No team is set up to lose four wickets in the first five overs as much as Delhi has. Like, the amount of times that they don't seem to be able to get out of the power play without losing like half of their team, right? Mm. This is a good bowling attack. They got nothing to bowl at in half of these games.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean,
they probably did the right thing in trying Sahil out today, and that's what they probably should do this season. Do what Chennai did last season and just go, let's see who we can keep for next year, right?
Also,
they need a number three.
Where the hell is Smashutosh? I need to see him already, you know, play a game or two. And if I'm not wrong, the only games where they've done well are the games where Sameer Rizvi has done well and his form has fallen off a cliff. So there's that as well.
Yeah, and look, we've said before that Sameer Rizvi is really good, but he needs about 10 or 15 balls to get started. Like, he's a really, not even a slow starter. He's just like a nervous starter. And so in some of these situations, they're behind the eight ball by the time him and Tristan Stubbs are in the game. And both of those guys are chewing up 10 or 15 balls to get started. We know what both of them can do. It hasn't really looked like something that is going to happen all that much this year. You know,
let's not forget 12 off 10 Miller Jared in the taking a balls thing.
Yeah, but I mean, at least Miller is usually doing it later. Although I'm not saying that's better, but I just think you know, no matter how you sort of look at what Delhi have done this year, there are just these glaring holes that I don't think any of us on paper potentially really saw coming out. Right? Like, I thought they had plenty of. If you had told me this year that they were going to have problems with their openers, I would have been like, what are you talking about? Like, they've done everything they can to fix that hole. They've set themselves up to be perfect. And as I said before, the amount of times, I'm just having a look in the power play now. So in the power play, they averaged 20, right? Mm. At 7.73 runs.
Wow.
So they're not making any runs slowly.
Yeah, well, 13 for 6 is the record. But also, there was a point today after the power play where every run came off either a nudge on the onside or a swivel pull. That's all they were doing.
Yeah.
It kind of got very monotonous and tough to watch. But credit to RCB, man. I thought of them as a batting team, and their bowling has really shown up.
Yeah, I think last year we were surprised at some of their bowling, and this year Bouvier has bowled even better, I think, at times. You know, they still have a bit of an issue. Like, Romario Shepherd keeps bowling. Rusick can be good, but can also go for runs. Suryansh has a thing. But they kind of have like six and a half guys who can bowl for them, where it should not be a disaster. Everyone has a role. Even Romario, when he's going for runs.
Yeah, it's a high floor, isn't it?
Yeah, it's a high floor. Yeah. And even with Romario, I know it didn't work for him today, but generally Romario will get a wicket even when he's getting hammered, right? So
true.
I think it gives you something with that lineup. And they've obviously thought about it. But the difference is, as I said before, if you're attacking Bouvier, right, you can't actually attack Bouvier and Hazelwood, right?
Yeah.
You can't attack both of them without the thought that you're going to lose two wickets in the power play. That completely changes how you play at the top. And so occasionally, you know, your batters will get away from them, but more often than not, they're just going to get you out.
Ross Taylor couldn't see at night or when the clouds were in. Eventually, he had to see an eye specialist who would fix his eyesight. In the 2 years before the change, he still averaged more than 50 in international cricket. The top level of batting talent can basically see in the dark. That is who we are talking about in our new book, The Art of Batting. Head over and order your copy today.
Yeah, I mean, look, those two are high-quality power play bowlers. And if I'm not wrong, when we did team maps, RCB had one of the better power play bowling, you know, attacks, right? Like, that's one of their strengths. Look, 3 for 5 and 3 power play overs for Bouvier, vintage. Hazelwood was 3 for 8 and 3 power play overs and then not bowled out immediately, but then came and, I think, cleaned up Porel towards the end. So 4 for 12 for him. Another underrated spell, as we were talking about, was Suyash, if I've gotten that correctly. 1 for 7 in 4 overs. So I think the bowling's coming along really nicely for RCB, and they definitely look like a top 2 team. They've gone from strength to strength, and they are a good team playing away from home. I think that augurs really well for them.
Yeah. I just think so. I've been most impressed with them all year. I know people have been upset that I haven't put Punjab on top of the power list so far, including Shayan, who co-writes it. But I just think RCB look like the most.
I will say,
Jared, team.
You saying Punjab can't make 220 regularly might be the worst take.
Yeah.
You've had.
Well, I mean, I just look at this because I was looking at the Delhi numbers, but this is where form comes in, right? And no one. This is why these leagues are so hard to predict, because we only get 15 games. Over a long period of time, Varun, I actually have no issue with what I said, right? But at the moment, their opening partnership, they're in the power play, they're averaging 87 at a strike rate of 2 runs a ball. That is quite clearly not sustainable over a long period of time.
Yeah, but I think even before this run they had, I think Shayan and I both disagreed with you when you said that, right?
No, but you can, whether you disagree with me or not is fine. My issue was, is this a repeatable batting lineup? Right?
Okay.
I'm still not 100% sure it's a repeatable batting lineup from that perspective. But what I'm saying is, when you're in form, that doesn't matter. Hmm. Right? If Prab Simran and Arya start going out and just have a bunch of new ball dismissals that they go out from, right? No one is going to come back to me and go, oh, we see what you're saying now.
Right? Are peak Simran and Arya the new Travis Sheikh?
I mean, it's ridiculous. I just said that scoring at 2 runs a ball and they're averaging 87. So the next best average in the power play is Gujarat, Rajasthan? Which is 63. So they're miles ahead of them, right? And Gujarat scoring at 3 runs and over slower.
We've got another super chat by Abhijit Shivanandan. And this is a question directed at Varun. Are all these slow starters a good idea for Delhi Capitals?
As I've been saying since the start of the season, I knew the finishing anchors will haunt them, but they've been much worse than I expected.
Well, it's kind of, it's not just Stubbs and Miller though, is it? Because Samir has this issue. KL likes to get in. And even Pathum Nisankar, I know he's no longer in the side, but when he was in the side, he's not really why you pick him, right? He's not Phil Salt, is he? Mm. And so they've come in with a very, very specific type of batter, and they've got lots of them. On top of that, they're out of form. All these things are fixed when everyone's in form, right? But you can't really start a season assuming everyone's going to be in form. And that's a huge issue for them at the moment. And it's a good bowling lineup, but it doesn't matter if you don't give them a chance. And now it's not even as good a bowling lineup as what they probably hoped for before the season.
Yeah, because Kuldeep's not taking any wickets, right? Akshar's been decent, but not great with the ball.
Akshar's been all right in the games where they've gone
for
20 runs.
I don't think he's taking a lot of wickets these days.
But Akshay with the bat has been missing.
Yeah, he's been
moving. That case.
Yeah, because he can't play pace and he's kept coming in when they're like 20 for three, right?
I mean, that's the other thing. Because they're losing so many of their wickets, Stubbs and Akshay are batting out of place almost every time anyway. See, and that comes back to what we're saying. Once something just thoroughly collapses, it's like, even when you pick the players to do the right jobs, what are you going to do? Who are you going to send out to bat, right? Like, how many times has Stubbs batted in the power play this year?
Must be all the time.
RCB and DC polar opposites when it comes to role clarity?
No, I think they know what their role clarity is. The thing that I think they're polar opposite on is RCB are very, very good at going, so this batter matches with this batter and this batter matches with this batter, right? Specifically with their batting, I think they're fantastic at that, at going, okay, so if we've got Phil Salt, right, that allows for Kohli to bat with him and bat at Kohli's pace. So when Kohli wants to attack, he can. And when he doesn't, he doesn't want to do that. We've got Pattadar. So if Kohli and Pattadar are in together, they could do that. And Salt doesn't have to attack the spin if he doesn't want to, right? And all the way down, you look at their lineup and it makes sense. What we're talking about with Delhi is there's still an element with Delhi that they've put this side together of being like, we have seven good batters, right?
They're South Africa-ing it.
Yeah. Seven good batters is absolutely fine if everyone's in form. When form isn't perfect, you suddenly look at the batting lineup and go, well, okay, so now these guys are all doing the same job, right? And they get in each other's way.
True. Anyway, anything else you guys want to discuss, or should we just put a lid on this now? This podcast is already longer.
This podcast went between it.
It's longer than the second innings already, I reckon. Okay, then. Thank you for joining, guys. Thank you for your super chats, and we'll see you tomorrow for another watch along and a post show after the game. Till then, take care, like, share, and subscribe, and follow Combox everywhere. Have a good one, and goodbye.
Thank you for listening to this podcast on the Combox Network. There is an ad-free version of this you can find by supporting us on Patreon at Good Areas Podcast. You can also access our Discord channel there. Please like, subscribe, and rate this show. Every one of these helps us. If there was a guest on a show, you can find their links in the show notes. Huge thanks to Ruckshit, Ishit, and everyone else who helps us get our content out there. If you want to know more about us, head to combox.tv. If you make a lot of content like me, oh, you are going to need help. And that is why we use Minvo.pro, a slicing and dicing tool that uses AI to conjure up incredible clips from your podcasts and meetings. If you make content, go to Minvo.pro to cut it.